The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is Paddington at the Palace by Michael Bond. One morning, Paddington and Mr. Gruber set out to see the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. Mr. Gruber took his camera, Paddington took a flag on a stick in case he saw the Queen, and they both sat on the front seat of the bus so that they could see all the places of interest on the way. And there they are on the top of the double-decker bus, looking all around them. The bus took them most of the way, and then they had to walk through St. James Park. It was a lovely sunny morning, and there were flowers everywhere. "I think I may pick some for the Queen," said Paddington. "I'm afraid that's against the law," said Mr. Gruber. "That is what is known as a royal park, and all the flowers belong to the Queen anyway. Besides, it would spoil it for others." "If you like, I'll take a picture for your scrapbook instead." "Fancy having a front garden as big as this," said Paddington. "I wonder if she has to mow the lawn?" Mr. Gruber laughed, and then, as they drew near to some large gates, he pointed towards the roof of a building behind them. "We're in luck anyway, Mr. Brown," he said. "There's a flag flying. That means the Queen is at home." Paddington peered through the railings and waved his own flag several times in case the Queen was watching. "I think I saw someone at one of the windows, Mr. Gruber," he called excitedly. "Do you think it was the Queen?" "Who knows?" said Mr. Gruber. Soon afterwards, they heard the sound of a band playing. The music got louder and louder, and there was a lot of shouting and the clump, clump of marching feet. But by then, there were so many people, Paddington couldn't see a thing. Poor Paddington, he'd come all this way, and then he couldn't see anything. Mr. Gruber wondered whether he ought to suggest holding Paddington up to see, but in the end, he bought him a periscope instead. "If you look through the bottom end," he explained, "you can see over the top of people's heads." Paddington tried it out, but all he could see were other people's faces, and he didn't think much of some of those. In the end, he tried crawling through the legs of the crowd, but by the time he got to the other side, the band had passed by. Poor Paddington. "Look," said a small boy, pointing at Paddington. "One of the soldiers has dropped his hat." "That's what they call a busby, dear," said his mother. Paddington jumped to his feet and said, "I'm not a busby," he cried. "I'm a bear." Gradually the crowd melted away until there were only a few people left. "Oh, dear," said Mr. Gruber, "it's all over, and I didn't even get a picture of you with one of the guardsmen." "And I didn't even see them," said Paddington sadly. Just then a man in a bowler hat said something to a policeman by the gate, and then pointed towards Paddington and Mr. Gruber. The policeman beckoned to them. "I've instructions to invite you inside so that you can take a proper photograph," he called. "You're very honored." "Uh-oh, that's great, isn't it?" Paddington felt most important as he and Mr. Gruber followed the policeman across the palace grounds, across the palace parade ground, and the guard came to attention. "I think," he said as he stood to attention while Mr. Gruber took a photograph, "this guard is so good that he doesn't need changing." There's the guard standing at attention in front of the palace. As they left the palace, Paddington stopped by the gates to wave his flag. "Do you think it was the Queen looking out of the window when we first came?" he asked. "Either it was the Queen," said Mr. Gruber, "or it was someone who likes bears very much." And then he took one last picture for Paddington's scrapbook. "You must mark the window with a cross when you paste it in, just in case it was the Queen." And there's the picture. Me at the palace, and there's Paddington in front of the gate, waving his little flag. And in the background is the window where he saw someone looking out with a cross on it, just in case it was the Queen looking out that window. You think it might have been? Our next book is Room for a Bear by Chiara Gavin. And this is about a bear who needs a new home. One spring, Bear came to visit, but he never left. Like life with his duck family suited him perfectly. He was sure he belonged. But duck houses were not built with bears in mind. Things were always a little bit crowded. Now there, Bear is coming out the roof, and his house sort of looks like a seesaw with him, very heavy, tilting the whole house down towards one side, and the ducks are very light, and their table is sort of up in the air, and there's his head coming out the roof and his feet coming out the window, and the duck sitting on his head, and there in one picture, he's sitting on the lying sleeping on the roof at night. So the search for the perfect home began. It wasn't easy. The ducks are sleeping in a nest up the tree, and the bear can't get up the skinny little tree. The ducks found a nice hole to live in, but the bear can't fit down the little hole. He can not even get one paw down it. What suited the bear did not suit the ducks. And what suited the ducks was a nice little boat with a little houseboat, but did not suit the bear because it was way too tiny for him and almost made the boat sink. They all returned to the home by the lake. But Bear began to worry. The ducks and he all loved each other, but they didn't fit together. Maybe they just didn't belong. Now, Bear found a perfect cave, but somehow it didn't feel like home. "I'm a nuisance," he thought. "I will go find my own home." "Nothing feels right without Bear," the duck said. But when Bear found his own cave, it just didn't feel like home without his ducks. "Quack, quack," he whispered to himself. Bear thought about all the things he missed about the ducks. The ducks liked to fix his hair. They liked to play hide-and-seek with him. Bear liked to read him stories. And then sometimes the ducks liked to read him stories. They liked to watch TV together. They liked to listen to music together. He liked to float on the water on his back, and the little ducks liked to get on his tummy and float with him. Then Bear had an idea. He got to work, and when he was finished, he went to find the ducks. "Excuse me. Nothing felt right without you," they said. "I missed you all very much," said Bear. "Come and see. I have a surprise for you." Bear had built the ducks a new home. Now they would have everything they needed. And most importantly, they would have each other. Before long, they settled into their new home. And as it turned out, ducks and bears were not such an old and odd match. In fact, they were a perfect fit. He built them a little house right outside the big cave. In fact, right up to the big cave. And he could sleep inside the big cave. And they could come in with him when they all wanted to be together. And they could sleep in their little house. And they could see him and then go sleep in their little house. And then they could all be together in the daytime and watch TV in his house and do all sorts of things together. And it's a really nice little house and a really nice big cave for him. And that is the end. Isn't that a nice story? This next book is called Make Way for Readers by Judy Sierra and G. Brian Karras. And it's about readers going to the library for story group. Make way for the readers, the riders, the rollers arriving in backpacks, on bikes and in strollers. Emma and Rufus find books about bunnies. And Emma is a little owl, and Rufus is a small alligator. Rory and Annabelle. Rory is a fox, and Annabelle is a little mouse, and they are reading something funny. Now, everyone listens to Mary Miss Bingo, who is a flamingo, and she is the teacher who's going to read the story hour. The Storytime Rhymer, the Singing Flamingo, and she is ready to read the story time. And she is reading some poems first. She tells them of kittens and mittens and mice, Miss Muffet, her tuffet, and sugar and spice. And all the little kids sit there and enjoy story time. She tells them of three blind mice, and three little kittens who lost their mittens, and little Miss Muffet who sat on her tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Stretch high up, honks Miss Bingo. Whoops, I missed a page. Excuse me. They rap to the rhyme of the cat and the fiddle. Poor Rory forgets all the words in the middle. All the kids are enjoying story time so much. Stretch up high, honks Miss Bingo, and I'll stretch down low, and all the kids stretch down low. Let's see if I can get the pages turned. Yes. Oh, no. Someone big tramples on Annabelle's toe. And Annabelle is a tiny mouse. So when the big alligator steps on her little tiny mouse toe, it hurts. And Annabelle howls and Annabelle hops and Annabelle sobs and story time stops. Poor little Annabelle's toe really hurts. So, Rory shouts, Annabelle, Annabelle, look! And he reads her a rhyme from the Mother Goose book. Hickory, dickory, dickory, dock. Annabelle Mousykin ran up the clock. And he makes Annabelle smile. He makes Annabelle giggle. In fact, all the kids are starting to giggle. Bingo starts dancing. Now everyone wiggle. Waggle your tails, show me your claws, flap your wings, clap with your paws for our storytime hero. Applause, applause. And everybody's clapping their paws or their claws or their wings. Is it time to go home now, ask Rufus and Rory. No, no, says Miss Bingo, it's time for a story. She gets out her storybook. They love it so much that she reads just one more, and she blows them a kiss as they roll out the door. Now Rory remembers the cow and the moon and the little dog dancing and the dish and the spoon, and he sings all the words to his very own tune. All the kids look so happy as they leave story time, and they're remembering all the words Toodaloo, little readers. Please come again soon. And they all go home very, very happy with after story time. Is that how you go to story time sometimes at the library? And do you feel happy when you leave? Or do you feel happy when you hear stories sometimes read to you by your mom or your dad, or sometimes even hear on the radio? This book is Animal Crackers Fly the Coop by Kevin O'Malley. It's about some farmyard animals that don't feel like doing their job anymore and want to leave the farmyard. Hen loved to tell jokes. Jokes like, why did the chicken go to the library? To check out a bawk, bawk, bawk. And why do comedians like their eggs? How do the comedians like their eggs? Funny side up. Hen dreamed of standing on a stage in a comedy club and cracking up the crowd. She simply had to be a comedy hen. The farmer wanted her to lay eggs, but Hen was just too tired of working for chicken feed. Being an egg layer wasn't all it was cracked up to be. So, you won't lay eggs, huh? Asked the farmer, using foul language. Well, come this Friday, you'll make a fine chicken dinner. That night, Hen talked to the other chickens. Where do chickens have the most feathers? Asked Hen. I don't know, said a chicken. On the outside, she said, and I have a plan to keep it that way. So that night, Hen flew the coop and headed across the field. Early the next morning, Hen saw a dog chasing its own tail. What are you doing, dog? She asked. I'm trying to make ends meet, he said. Would you please tell me your sad tail? Asked Hen. My sad tail can't talk, but I can tell you my story, said Dog. One night I was doing a comedy show for the sheep, and a wolf stole a side of beef from the smokehouse. Doggone it, Dog, you're all bark and no bite, said the farmer. He was so mad, I figured I'd better hightail it out of there. Hen told Dog about her dream to open a comedy club and asked him to join her. Dog wagged his tail. Dog and Hen were walking down the dusty road when they passed an old shed. A fat cat was lying on a wall. Mice were jumping all around him. You don't see that every day, said Hen. Clearly that cat isn't any good at claw enforcement. So, cat, can you hiss and tell your story to us? Asked Dog. I want to be a performer, but my master didn't like my caterwauling. I sing funny songs like Have Yourself a Furry Little Christmas and Silent Mice. The farmer told me he'd throw me in the river, so I left. Hen and Dog told the cat about their idea for a comedy nightclub. It didn't take much persuasion to get the cat to go with them. I saw Mommy hiss at Santa Claus. Several hours later, the three comedians came to a pasture. Standing outside the fence was a cow. You look utterly miserable, said the dog. If that cow were a musical note, she'd be a beef flat, said the cat to the hen. We heard there was a problem, said Hen. No use crying over spilled milk. Let's see if we can help you fix it. Why did you ring your bell? Because my horns don't work, said the cow. I'm in a real stew. Last night the farmer said he was going to sell me to the butcher, said cow. See, I completely forgot about making milk. All I do is think about jokes. I guess you'd say I have milk of amnesia. So I snuck out of the barn, and now I'm calculating what my next move should be. Hen and Dog told her of their plan for a comedy nightclub and invited her to join them. Cow said yes and rang her bell. The four comedians walked and walked. They were getting tired and hungry. finally they passed an old house and looked inside. Sitting in the kitchen were three robbers. The leader said, "Don't eat all the food right now. We'll be hungry when we get back from robbing that bank." There are three robbers sitting at the table eating a good meal. It looks like steak and some vegetable and a nice baked potato. And they're drinking something good, like maybe glasses of milk. Four comedians hid in the bushes and watched the robbers leave. As quickly as they could, they ran into the house and ate every last bit of food that they could find. "What did the mother ghost tell the baby ghost when he ate too fast?" asked Dog. "Stop gobbling your food," said Hen. "Ha, ha, ha." "Why did the student eat his homework?" asked Cat. "The teacher told him it was a piece of cake," said the cow. Tired and happy, the four comedians lay down and fell fast asleep. Oh, it must have been milk that the robbers were drinking, because the cow was drinking the milk with a straw. Everybody else was eating the steak, and the hen was eating the green vegetable, and the cat was loving the steak, and the dog was loving the steak, too. Around midnight, the robbers returned from robbing the bank. The first robber stepped inside, and he tripped over the cow. The second robber tripped on the first, and the third robber tripped on the second. The four comedians woke with a start, and the third robber tripped on the second. The four comedians woke with a start. They did the only thing they could think of. They told jokes. There are those robbers just flipping up in the air and falling over the cow. The cow asked, "Why does a milking stool only have three legs?" "Because the cow has the udder." But the robbers saw just two horns and heard, "Moo, moo, moo." Dog said, "My master asked me why I go into a corner when I hear a bell. And I said, 'Cause I'm a boxer.'" I don't get that joke. But the robbers saw only sharp teeth and heard, "Growl, woof, growl, woof." That dog sounds fierce, doesn't he? Cat sang, "Over the counter and into my mouth, the tasty mouse will go." But robbers only felt sharp claws and heard, "Meow." And of course, Chicken woke up and said, "The farmer I worked for was so dumb he plowed his field with a steamroller because he wanted mashed potatoes." The robbers just felt her sharp beak and heard, "Bawk, bawk, bawk." The robbers got so scared they ran off and never came back. Now, the four comedians have a comedy club. It's called Cow Dog Kit Hen. Animals come from far and wide. The comedians do two shows a night. And just like Hen dreamed, they crack them up. And again, it's called Cow Dog Kit Hen Comedy Club. And there go the ducks and the cows and a horse or two and some sheep and more ducks and some pigs and some more dogs and lots more cows and some more horses. Everybody looks like they're going to be having fun. And the hen starts off the show. Why didn't the skeleton cross the road? Because he didn't have the guts. And that's the end of that silly, silly story. Okay, today we're going to read some what are called tongue twisters, and these are by Dr. Seuss. I've tried to read you some tongue twisters before. It's been a long time since we've done any, and they're so hard to read that I've always messed up. I'm going to go slowly today to see if I can make it through one without any mistakes. So I'm going to go very slowly. So here's one called West Beast and East Beast. Upon an island hard to reach, the East Beast sits upon his beach. Upon the West Beach sits the West Beast. Each beach beast thinks he's the best beast. Which beast is best? Well, I thought at first that East was best and West was worst. And then I looked again from West to the East, and I like the beast on the East Beach least. Okay, I'm going to try it again a little faster. Upon an island hard to reach, the East Beast sits upon his beach. Upon the West Beach sits the West Beast. Each beach beast thinks he's the best beach. Which beast is best? Well, I thought at first that the East was best and the West was worst. And then I looked again from West to the East, and I looked the beast, and I liked the beast on the East Beach least. And one more time. Upon an island hard to reach, the East Beast sits upon his beach. Upon the West Beach sits the West Beast. Each beach beast thinks he's the best beach. Best beast. Which beast is best? Well, I thought at first that the East was best and the West was worst. Then I looked again from the West to the East, and I like the beast on the East Beach best. I think what we have to do is read a tongue twister over and over and over again to be able to read it better and better each time. But even so, it's really hard to do, isn't it? Maybe you can practice some tongue twisters yourself. Now we're going to go over to nursery rhymes, which are always fun. And these are very, very old poems that people have been learning to read and listening to for years and years and years and years. And here's one called, that's been around for many, many years, that you just might know already, called Little Miss Muffet. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, which is sort of a little stool, eating her curds, which is yogurt and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away. It must have been a really big spider, do you think? So that was Little Miss Muffet, who happened to like yogurt. And this one is called, I Love Little Kitty. I love little kitty, her coat is so warm. And if I don't hurt her, she'll do me no harm. So I'll not pull her tail nor drive her away. But Kitty and I very gently will play. She shall sit by my side, and I'll give her some food, and Kitty will love me because I am good. Well, it looks like we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.